Hello and welcome to the Movielicious, the show where we talk about the movies we've seen in the past 2 weeks. This is episode number 25 for April 2010. Step it and dance. Hello everyone and welcome to the Movielicious. This is episode 25, quarter of a century, kind of, not really, but sort of. And we have a special guest. So first of all, hi Nicole and T.
Yo,
Mark. Hello.
Going fine, going excellent, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, I was gonna say, turn your mute off.
I did. There's a big button now that says mute, and so that was really
excellent.
Easy to find.
And we have a special guest. Some of you might remember him from How I Wow days. My friend, my partner in crime, Sean Coons.
Woo! Good day, or evening, as the case may be.
Now, you should have done your famous world famous intro.
How's it going, everybody? In
no,
the chat
that's
channel?
Someone else.
Oh, okay.
What is my world famous intro? Must not be world famous if I don't remember it.
Oh, come on. Good
Don't
day,
I just
friends.
Say good day? I mean, isn't that my thing?
Friends. You said friends.
Oh, sorry. Good day, friends.
No, that is... like, that's surreal, that is. I never knew you said
like
that.
It's like he's here.
Like, when you say that, I all of a sudden, I'm all like, oh yeah, he says that. That's crazy.
So Sean was supposed to see, like, how many? Two or three movies? But then you only could see one.
Yes.
So, yeah. There's
I see
that.
One movie every other month, so to quadrupled my monthly quota just by seeing this one. So
that's pretty good. We will, you know, the pleasure of having you on the show will make up for your laziness, basically. We've been trying to have you on forever. I'm so happy that you're here.
It was very fun just to like slip into a movie theater on Wednesday morning, though. So maybe I'll do that again.
Yeah, you should. And I have missed you. From the podcasting bug is tickling yet?
It is.
Uh-huh.
It is. So
we'll find something to do with the tickling bug. All right, let us get a start.
That's
with,
just sound wrong.
Yeah, it does. It did. We have three. Well, actually, four movies we want to talk about tonight. The first one is Kick-Ass. The second one is Green Zone. Third one, Date Night, and then Nicole wants to talk about Hot Tub Time Machine because she thinks it's just that awesome that she needs to do a mini review about it.
We had a bunch of people asking about it, so I figure I'd at least say that, because it's not out for you guys. It probably is not going to come out. I don't even know if it will come out.
I don't know.
Is it that good? Wow.
Yeah, it's that good.
Well, some people have been, you know, saying nice things about it, but we'll see. They actually on East Meets West, Tom Merritt and Roger Chang and O Doctor have been having a fight about that, and they should have the rematch in a couple of weeks. So that should be interesting too. And we are going to start with which one? Which one do you guys want to start with?
Date movie, or whatever it was.
Date movie.
You want to do date movie?
All right, let's do
date,
that.
Date night.
Yeah, I have to tell you guys, I am going to be, first of all, I'm really tired and sick. I think I was sick 2 weeks ago also, so that sucks. But I'm going to try to keep up my rage, ranting, and excitement about the two movies I saw, Kick-Ass and Green Zone, and I have stuff to say. So just, you know, for yourself, get yourself
ready. So you're reserving your energy, is that what you're saying?
Yes, kind of. Date Night is a movie by director Sean Levy, and we don't really care about this because what we care about is that the two main actors are Steve Carell and Tina Fey of
30 Rock.
TV fame. Well, 30 Rock, The
Saturday
Office,
Live,
and Saturday
Daily
Night
Show.
Live, etc., etc. Daily Show, obviously. Steve Carell, very funny in that show. And it's the story of two ordinary people who just get embroiled in an incredibly exciting and dangerous adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, they've been married for a while, and they're going through kind of the couple, you know, how long have they been married? What, 15, 20 years, something like that?
Yeah.
And they're realizing that their friends are separating, and so they're, you know, good roommates, and so they're trying to use date night to keep the spark alive.
It's good, actually. I found it quite topical, because me and Scott, we recorded a podcast, Hypothetical Help, and Scott was saying, like, the best way to keep a marriage going is to date your wife. I misheard him, and I try to ask his wife out on a date. It's a bit awkward. But long story short, I suddenly thought, okay, I see where this film's going. The problem is that Sean Levy, who's the director, actually directed Night at the Museum and its sequel. Its sequel was atrocious. He's directed Cheaper by the Dozen, which makes me want to cry. The Pink Panther, that makes me want to cry. So I wasn't expecting a huge amount in terms of the type of film that I was expecting, at least. So I kind of had really low expectations from the get-go. I love 30 Rock and Tina Fey. She writes that. She's always doing it, so you don't see her as much in movies anymore. And Steve Carell is just hilariously funny in many roles, but unfortunately then there's some movies where it's terrible. You know, like, what's that spy one?
Get Smart, I think it was.
That was atrocious. Mm. And so my worry going into this is it was going to be that sort of film again, where people I like are in it, but it's atrocious. It's worth also mentioning Mark Wahlberg's in this, and he was absolutely fantastic. But I don't know. I'm already going into a view here. Should we just...
Go ahead. Go crazy.
In it too.
Yes. James Franco.
The trailer made it seem like a really cool movie. I really wanted to see it. Now I'm worried.
Yeah, I thought that a little bit, and then I saw the film and realized, no, I really didn't want to see it.
It's funny, I had the exact opposite feeling that you're having, so...
Yeah, I mean, my
problem... Can I ask you guys a question, then?
Yeah, go for it.
Because my wife and I saw the trailer in the theater together, and we both thought it looked really good, but I'm wondering if it has an appeal to married couples.
Going to say that, because I went to see this by myself, and like the first scene, I was like, oh, I wish Mark was here with me, because there was such a funny scene that happened that Mark and I have done a number of times. So they're at dinner, and they're evaluating couples in the restaurant, and then they're like making them talk. And there's one part where Steve Carell character goes, "What's with the same side sitters? You can't really talk to one another this way." I've had this exact same conversation with Mark.
I have to agree. What the hell is with the same side? They want to sit next to each other to do dirty things under the table.
I think it's easier when you're opposite. But also, I would imagine, I mostly see it when people, they tend to be facing me. And so I've always just assumed they both want to have a better view of me. So I think that's probably, at least, I don't know, that might just be coincidence, but that's how I've kind of drawn the logic in my head.
That's why my wife and I do it, and we just always face towards England.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Mecca, only, you know, a little bit more rainy.
So what I really loved about this movie is how much I connected with the characters. Like, I would never steal somebody's reservation.
That would be disgusting.
I have to say, that is
the height of disgusting.
This is the funny thing. So I went to a restaurant last night, and there was a huge, long wait. And I for a second, almost put my name down as Triple Horn. Because that's actually the reservation that they take. And I'm just now waiting to be at a restaurant where somebody uses Triple Horn and be like,
No one would go for it.
So obviously, Terpsir, you didn't really like the movie.
Well, my problem is I liked bits of the movie. I liked, for example, Mark Wahlberg, like I said, was hilarious. Whenever he was in it, he was just golden. James Franco
Wait,
as well.
Is it one of those movies where all the funny bits are in the trailer?
No, I think there were some funny, but the thing is that I just kept kind of tripping over it. It wasn't a comedy, and it wasn't an action film. It was like somewhere in between, mm-hmm. and I felt that the comedy was weak, and the action was weak, and thusly, I kind of came away trying to figure out what it was, and all I kind of came away with is just feeling like it was a bit rubbish, really. I mean, like, Carell... some really funny lines in there, but then some really not funny stuff. Same with Tina Fey. I mean, it was just so hit and miss. Franco was brilliant, as was Wahlberg. Just whenever they were on screen, I was kind of enjoying it. Unfortunately, that they weren't the leads. You know, they were kind of smaller parts in it.
Franco was, what was his name? Taste?
Taste, yeah. And, and then you had Mila Kunis' Whippet.
She's like the dog.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, and the thing is, they're like right low lives, but then they're amazingly kind of shocked how Tina Fey and Steve Carell's characters could steal someone's reservation. Like, who does that? Who does that? And I mean, I don't know. I've just seen this kind of film in terms of the mistaken identity done much better. One of my favorite films, The Man Who Knew Too Little, starring Bill Murray. Is the similar sort of thing where kind of it's a little bit, I like it better because he's kind of unknown to a lot of it and kind of plays along. But it's one of those mistaken identity films where they're put into danger. And, you know, again, in this, it turns out that ultimately they kind of get closer. And it turns out that date night is probably a good thing. But again, I don't know. I just didn't really enjoy myself for any substantial period of time. I found myself kind of, oh, that was good. Oh, this is boring. Oh, that was good.
Sounds like
now
a meh
again.
So funny, because I felt the exact opposite. I felt the movie carried me through really nicely. Like, I was watching it, and it just, for me, I guess because I just connected with maybe the situation a little bit more, I found every joke funnier.
Yeah, it could well have been. I mean, the thing is, I've been in a relationship for a long time, but I don't know. I just didn't really find many of the parallels, at least personally. Like I said, there were some funny bits, and I would be lying if I said that it wasn't a funny film. But the thing is, it wasn't consistently funny, nor was it consistently exciting. And it came into this whole middle ground of, I didn't get what the movie really was about or wanted to be about.
I can tell you what it was about. It was about them as a couple, and like there was a whole scene where he was saying, you know, you try to do everything yourself and you never let me help. Why don't you, you know, rely on me more? So it was more of their growth as a couple, and yeah, it was comical in the situations that they were put in, and you know, the whole scene where they're running with the boat on their head and she's like, if we die, I don't want the kids to live with your mother, I hate her, or something like that. And it was
I'm bored already.
I thought it was funny. It was funny, and I really liked it. I had a fun time with it.
I think it could be funny. I want to see it. I want to see it.
Nicole and Terpster, have either one of you seen or heard the Flight of the Conchords Business Time?
Oh, yeah.
All right, on a scale, each one of you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how funny was that?
Oh, I loved it. Business Time? Like,
yeah.
You know, 10.
10?
Okay, there goes my theory. I was thinking like Terpster wouldn't find it as funny because it's kind of the same kind of thing.
Oh no, because Wednesday night, nothing good's on TV. You know, conditions are perfect, and that's the thing. I could have really enjoyed it, I think, more if it had let itself be a comedy and kind of forgotten about the whole let's blow stuff up. I mean, it's a cheap thing to do in terms of like, well, oh, it's a bit of a dark bit here. It's a bit boring. Hang on. Explosion. Hell yeah. Let's watch this film again.
Did you find the action scene between the cars locking up? Did you find that funny? I thought the cab driver and his reactions was pretty funny when he was... It was kind of funny.
So I guess
it was kind of funny, but it wasn't funny. really. So again,
that makes it very understandable. It was kind of funny, but it wasn't funny really.
So the whole premise of the movie is this flash drive and the contents on this flash drive and they're
God, are we gonna go into the plot of the movie?
Well, I'm just telling you, there's a part where they take the flash drive and they put it in a Kindle. I didn't know a Kindle could do that.
So please don't be that person.
That was probably the least. I probably accepted that, but I thought, yeah, fantastic. It's nice to see some nice new tech in there.
I think there was a USB port in the Kindle, though.
I'm thinking if that was me and my wife. My wife always calls.
Why can't I be that person? It's what I thought when I saw it.
Yeah, but you can't be the tech person who's like, it's like the doctor who watches like ER or Grey's Anatomy or, you know, and they have like, code red, like he's going to crash. He's like, and the guy next to you is like, that doesn't happen like that. And you want to strangle him or, you know, maybe not him.
But. Yeah, like I said, the whole thing. The premise, it, again,
I
it just
think we
felt
sort of
weak.
Cut off Sean.
So, yeah. I'm going to agree with you, Terpster, that the...
Sean wasn't saying anything important.
I wish it was more funny than... And the action was just kind of like, yeah. But I still had a good time.
Sean, what unimportant thing were you saying?
Well, all I was saying is, if that was me and my wife in that movie with the flash drive, she always calls like USB drive zip drives. And then I correct her and say, zip drive was an ancient technology made by Omega back in such and such. And that would be the running joke throughout the whole movie.
That would have been a good joke.
That was a joke because she's like, what's a flash drive? And Steve Carell says, oh, it's the... And she goes, oh, we call it that, the sticky thing or something. Like she had her own terminology for it.
Okay. So Nicole Woot, Terpster, yes. Meh.
No, lame.
Oh, lame.
Ooh. Yeah, lame. Just in terms of, yeah, there were funny bits to it, but I again, if I was to say to someone, go out and watch it and make your own mind up, I wouldn't. I wouldn't say that to them. I didn't enjoy it enough.
So you're coming over to my way of rating
almost,
things. Would you recommend
it? Exactly. It's a very harsh one. It would be a meh minus or a lame plus, but I'm just going to go with lame. just purely because for these people, for who was in it, it should have been better. That being said, for who directed it, I'm not too surprised. It's in line with those other movies.
Okay.
So maybe if you enjoyed The Pink Panther, Cheaper by the Dozen, you know, Night at the Museum, you will enjoy this one as well. For me, again, no. So, no.
And by the way, that's also the systems that some of my lady friends use to rate things. Lame plus. Huh? Okay, never mind. all right. Should we move over to another movie?
Yeah.
Like, for example, Kick-Ass.
Yeah. Oh, Kick-Ass. Please.
I would submit that we ask Sean to talk about Kick-Ass first.
Although, since it was the only movie I saw.
But you want to intro it? You want to tell
us
a little bit about it?
Let's intro it and say that it's a movie by Matthew Vaughn, who is kind of known. He produced things like Layer Cake and Stardust and stuff like that.
Both great films.
Actually, he directed them too. I'm sorry.
He directed Stardust, fantastic.
And the story of this movie is a little bit peculiar because, first of all, it's based on the comic of the same name, and it was developed at the same time as the comic. So basically, the movie came out before the last issue of the comic. And also, it took a long time to make because it was a really strong vision that was completely uncompromised by the producers and director, and they really went through with everything they wanted to do, apparently, which is a sort of comic bookish movie, but which is extremely violent in unexpected ways.
it's ultra violent.
Kick-Ass
is worth mentioning as well, Patrick.
That
at least as far as I could tell, I didn't see any big studios at the beginning, and it seemed to be a fairly kind of independent, at least financed film.
Right, they turned it down.
I think that really shows with with you know just how violent it was in places.
Yeah, it's the story of this. I guess everyone in our audience knows, but I'm going to just go over it really fast. It's the story of this young kid who thinks, why has no one ever tried to be a superhero? Like, just put on a costume and go in the street and do good things. And he sort of does it. And it doesn't really go over super well. And then a whole lot of stuff happens, which I'm not going to ruin in case you've been saving yourself and not watching the trailer. I also like to say that Kishel did a kick-ass poster for us where she claims, we can't kick your ass, but we can review your movie. And I would add, that's basically the same thing as kicking your ass because we destroy movies that we review. It is.
Yeah, I mean, it's proven fact. The weekend after you guys review them, if it's bad, box office receipts take a big hit.
Exactly. So go to the blog right now. Watch that extremely well-done poster at themovielicious.com. Sean, what did you think of this movie?
Well, I didn't know. You know, I thought I was going to a movie about kids dressing up being superheroes. And if I would have thought about that, I'm like, do I really want to see this? Because it sounds too cute, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, but oh, I should
so you
have
hadn't
said,
seen the trailer.
No, I had, but I guess I hadn't really paid that much cute. Attention to it. Or I think the trailer's deceptive. I didn't know what to expect because totally then there's those first couple scenes where he tries to stop those guys from carjacking and that first scene going after that guy. And also I'm like, what the heck is happening here? I mean, this is... Yeah, I expected him to like get beat up a little bit, but so I love the movie. I absolutely loved it. But part of the reason is because I wasn't expecting what it was going to be, and that made it a little, I don't know if real is the word. It's hard to say real, but a
it
movie
was
like this.
Wasn't it raw? It was a very raw movie.
Go ahead. No, Sean, keep going.
I don't know. I saw it just yesterday morning, so I'm still kind of processing it. Mm. And it's, I'm like, she can't do that. She's 11. You know, she can't say that.
The first scene where you see her do her thing,
the C word. Yeah.
So there's obviously for the people who don't, we have to talk a little bit about it. Nothing that you haven't seen in the trailer, but there's two like human kind of characters. That are superheroes, and a couple of others that are still in this sort of realistic mood, but that do Matrix-like things, like jumping on walls and incredible, you know, super athletic fighting. And one of them is this 11-year-old kid who is...
She's awesome.
Yeah.
Hit Girl.
I'm going to go a little bit more into it.
It should have been called Hit Girl, not Kick Ass.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I
want to see the Hit Girl movie.
I expected, you know, all the fighting and stuff. I didn't expect the disembowelment. Which so it's like Quentin Tarantino made a Disney Channel movie.
Totally.
Yeah.
Did anyone walk out of the movie theater with their kid while you were there?
Nope.
No,
but
I didn't see any kids that
if you me. Go with a kid, you are insane.
Yeah,
it happened. It was actually a number of parents walked out with their children.
Wow.
Like, how old were the children? Do you think?
They were young. Probably like. I don't know. But again, this goes back to you watch the trailer. You get a sense of what this movie is going to be like. Mm-hmm. And
well, there was
totally
in France. There was a trailer that was very, very. It was like before Dragons. We saw one version of the trailer that didn't have any blood, no disembowelment, no. You know, it sort of made it seem like a kids' movie a little bit. Mm-hmm. So maybe some people might have seen that.
I think that's all I saw here.
Possible, yeah. So yeah, it's definitely not for children. All right.
And I think that's what's so shocking for a lot of people that they're expecting, oh, there's kids in this movie.
Yeah.
So I should be able to bring my kid with me. And it's.
But it is rated R.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
for good reason. Nicole, what do you think?
I'm in the same exact boat as Sean. I absolutely loved it. I I almost feel bad because just the Hit Girl was just so awesome, but she's only 11. It's like, what is going on? So I love the story. I loved how real and how raw it was. I mean, you knew immediately when the first scene really preps you for what this movie is going to be like, where the guy's standing on top of the building.
Yeah.
And that right there should tell you this is not going to be your typical superhero movie. It really is. I mean, it's kind of foreshadowing what's going to go down in this entire movie. And I just really liked the premise of it. I liked Nicolas Cage, even though typically I don't really like him. I really liked him in this movie. I loved McLovin's character. Of course, I'm bypassing his name. Just calling him McLovin.
He's always going to be McLovin.
He's always going to be McLovin, I really liked him in this part. You know, I didn't actually see McLovin.
He's growing McLovin up.
He even had a big M on his chest. And I was like, that makes it even easier. McLovin, we're good.
Terpster, what did you think of the movie?
Again, I know we're still only in the first half of the year, but without a doubt, best movie of 2010.
Wow.
I cannot wait for Iron Man 2, because after seeing this, I think a comic book movie for me has to be on a whole different level. Again, this was just, it was refreshing in that it was so brave in what it did. It didn't kind of sell out. Which is kind of nice. Like, Hit Girl, like you were saying, stole the show. At the same time, like, I've read interviews, like, she could actually, like, you know, dissemble and reassemble a gun and stuff like that. They really taught this kid all of those things, and she got to swear. Brilliant. Nicolas Cage, thank God he is back, or at least he's back for this role. I'm sure he'll chuck it all away in the next film he does. But I was watching it and just being like, thank God, Nicolas Cage, I love you once again. His kind of Adam West kind of Batman, brilliant.
Kind of Batman.
Batman. Again, McLovin just had me laughing at times, and other times, again, actually showed a bit of depth. Just all in all, just absolutely fantastic. I was enthralled with all of it. I didn't think I'd be as interested. I thought I'd go there and I'd see some cool effects and some gore. But the characters, we keep coming back to it, but Hit Girl and Big Daddy, those two characters for me, I would love to see more of. I want them to do more films, but, you know, again, you know, let's leave the other two to one side. I want to experience and go on more journeys with these two.
I really like what they did with Red Mist's character. Like, I like, because for me, I don't know if you thought this, they were going to take it down a more nicey path.
Yeah.
I like where they took his storyline.
Yep. I agree.
So,
all right.
I saw that one coming.
Yeah.
Had sequel written all over it.
Oh, sorry.
Well, it's a superhero movie, right?
you know that I said I was going to be ranty, right? And I thought this movie just sucked.
What?
You no,
what?
I'm kidding.
Smoking.
All right. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay. I'm kidding.
I just
okay.
have to stop Here's... doing this freaking no, podcast with you. If you
I
that.
Just wanted to see the chat room's reaction.
500 days of summer all over again. No. This time, right. I'm Patrick.
For some people, of which I think I am one, this movie is the best movie in the world ever. It's fantastic. It's awesome. It's like, okay, it's not actually the best movie ever, but it's when you get out of it, you're like, it's the best movie ever. It's so uncompromising, so courageous, so unlike anything you've seen before, in that it's not like revolutionary, but the relationship between Hit Girl and Big Daddy and the character path of Kick-Ass and his friends is like, for our generation, complete realization of all fantasies ever. And it manages something that, you know how we often go into a review saying, well, this movie was really two movies, one good, one bad.
Mm-hmm.
This movie was like three movies, all excellent and all incredibly successfully meshed into one coherent movie. There's the, you know, superhero coming of, you know, origin story kind of, which really works. There's the surreal superheroes part, which really works. There's the romantic comedy, which works perfectly. Like, every time you think they're going to take in a direction that's going to be annoying, they don't, and they make it believable. The action sequences are incredibly satisfying. Technically, it's wonderfully done. It's very well shot, colorful, but not too video-like. The cinematography is great. The directing is great. The acting is stellar. These kids, some of which are really young, like Hit Girl, but even Kick-Ass, they are exactly the part they're supposed to be. I cannot say enough good things about this
movie. Did you recognize Hit Girl, Patrick? Did you recognize Hit Girl?
I don't think so.
You should. She was in your favorite movie of last year.
Oh, my God.
She was the sister.
It's the sister.
In 500 Days of Summer.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yep, yep.
So, Kick-Ass is the best movie in the world.
Did you like the social commentary? I mean, there was a lot of, like, you know, with, like, the whole, the integration of, like, fan pages and YouTube and streaming and people just...
Was, the only part that I sort of enjoyed was, like, well, we can't show you that on TV, and everyone rushes to the internet, which was kind of fun. But, you know, everything was... Even, you know, everything was coherent and everything was had a reason to be where it was. Like, even the gimmicky YouTube stuff, it was completely in line with the, you know, the way the world works today. And it was not a gadget thing that was put in there to be hip.
Yeah, I thought it was used perfectly and how they leveraged it in the story. Because wasn't that something that they added to the movie? It wasn't necessarily something in the...
Yeah, so I saw the I read the first half of the comic, and by the way, Querto Pew is asking in the chat room if it was better than 500 Days of Summer, and as Lucky 129 says, it's apples and oranges. I don't know, I can't tell. I'd need to see it again first of all, and I don't know. It's there are two different.
I can answer that one though, and just say yes, it is.
I'm going to agree with you, Terpster.
You Luddites. So the comic book is kind of, the first half anyway, is a little bit different. There are some elements in the movie that are clearly different. The comic book, I liked it, and I loved the movies. But the differences are not what make them different, kind of. If you enjoyed the comic book, you cannot not like the movie, I don't think.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I read the Wikipedia summary of the comic book, and it looks like it ends not quite as upbeat as the movie.
Mm-hmm. And I think I read somewhere about the romance didn't happen in the comic the way it happened in the movie. And I was curious, since I haven't seen the comic, is the drawings, because they did some really cool effects with comics in the movie that I loved, and the drawing was really great. Was it it's a similar...
No, not exactly. The comic book is, you know, the story is quite original, but the comic itself is sort of drawn in a, you know, comic book way. It's not as daring, I would say, I don't think. I only read the first half, but...
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, cool. Yeah, fantastic movie for me. Probably a strong contestant for the movie of the year also. Although, I wouldn't recommend it to just anyone. For example, I wouldn't recommend it to my parents. I don't think they would enjoy it all that much. So, you know, it's one of those those things. Yeah. But
I'm sure young children would love it, but it's not meant for them.
But I want to see it again. And
totally.
Yeah.
Terpster, did you get your review?
Yeah. I mean, in a nutshell, though, it's I think it's the second one I'm going to give this to, but a Wootalicious. Is definitely deserving of the highest accolade that we can hand out here on the Movielicious. A fantastic movie, and if you're old enough to go see it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All around.
Nicole, Wootalicious, or...?
I'm giving a Wootalicious.
Holy yeah. woot.
Yeah, I loved it. I'd go see it again in a theater.
You know what? I'm not sure I would give it a wootalicious quite yet. Like, it's a double woot that we usually give. But
how can it be the best movie ever?
You know what? You're right. It's a freaking wootalicious.
There we go. Wootalicious. All around Sean.
Triple wootalicious. I don't know.
I'm going to give it my highest rating I've ever given on Movielicious.
That's it. Highest rating ever by Sean Coons. All right. So that's a woot.
Woot.
Yes.
Okay, cool. I don't know that we've ever agreed all that much on a movie.
It's quite sad, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. All right, and I'm really looking forward to Iron Man 2. I don't think it's gonna be as good.
That's what worries me. I mean, the thing is, I love Iron Man so much that for me, it would probably be just, you know, sweet just to have more Iron Man. Yeah. But like I said, it was a game changer, Kick-Ass, for me in terms of where you can go with you know, this sort of movie.
But they're different movies, aren't they?
They are. Well,
I mean, they aren't both superhero movies.
But yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, Kick-Ass has such courage. Like, the perseverance it must have taken to make that movie in the industry must have been, you know, that should be commended as its own achievement. Anyway. All right. Green Zone. Let's talk about that. Now everyone, yep. You know, we're not as excited anymore.
Yeah, we shouldn't have done Kick-Ass second, yeah, really.
Probably next. But still, I have a rant about that too. So the movie Green Zone is a movie by Paul Greengrass, who did The Bourne Ultimatum and The Bourne Supremacy. I don't think he did the first one, though. That was, what's his name? Nolan, I think, right?
Was it?
Nolan? I don't know. All right. Anyway, he did Bourne stuff. And Green Zone also stars Jason Bourne star Matt Damon, who, and as such, it's been dubbed Bourne in Iraq, because it starts as, Matt Damon as a specialist who's looking. Doug Liman, right. Sorry, yeah. I always confuse the two. Matt Damon is a specialist in Iraq who is looking for WMDs and is having a hard time finding them, obviously. And it's been dubbed, you know, Born in Iraq, yay, action, woot, let's kill bad people. And I thought that wasn't exactly right, but let's ask, Nicole, did you see it?
No. Hello?
Oh, okay. So let's ask Mark.
Yay. Firstly, Pat, let me ask you, did you like the Bourne films?
Of course.
Okay, I like the Bourne films as well.
Wait a second. Who didn't like the Bourne films? All right.
I don't know. Is that okay?
I will say that anytime I watched the Bourne films, I didn't want to watch them. And then after I watched them, I was like, yeah, it wasn't so bad.
Well, yeah, I would watch them a second time.
I never have a strong desire to watch any of the Matt Damon action movies, period. I don't know. Really? I'm just, all right. I don't know. There's something about Matt Damon that I'm not like, ooh, I got to go see him in this action movie. I don't know.
Okay.
He's all right. Okay, all right. Go ahead.
So,
right. Well, I mean, again, this was a film that felt fairly topical. Over here in the UK, we had something called the Chilcot Inquiry, where we kind of looked into the reasons behind the war in Iraq and the decisions and all of the. At the time, it was a big thing about how we were going there because they had WMDs, and we had to, basically, because if we didn't go, then they'd just bomb us. And so, basically, with this film, Matt Damon's character is over there looking for WMDs, and so it felt kind of topical. It did veer into kind of Bourne territory in terms of Matt Damon definitely did kick some ass. Jason Isaacs is in it as well, and he was really good, I felt, at least in terms of just what he kind of, I guess, what he brought to it. He was quite sinister, and I quite like that. without, again, I don't know really what to say in terms of it. The film felt fairly formulaic in that it was definitely going down the Bourne route, I felt at times. The difference, really? Instead of who I am, it was more of, where are the weapons? and then it was like, I don't know, it was the whole kind of everyone against Matt Damon sort of thing. I think that kind of made me, you know, this whole one-man army. But I don't know, I still enjoyed the film, that's the thing. This would be like a different kind of way to date movie in that I didn't feel this film fully accomplished what I was expecting from it. But at the same time, I had a good time watching it. The action in it was really good. I from the sounds of it, you didn't feel like it was a Bourne film, because I did.
Really?
Yeah.
It was Bourne-ish in that the camera was moving around all the time, and like as Prendon 2 is saying in the chat room.
Yeah. The thing that was nice seeing Damon in it, because Damon, I'm not sure if it's just because I've seen Good Will Hunting, but he does appear intelligent, and this guy needed to be intelligent but also be able to whoop some ass. Okay. And so I think in that way, I'd say the characters, the casting, spot on. I think, like I said, as well, it had an extra kind of providence. It felt more relevant. It felt kind of exciting in that way. I'm just trying to think what I didn't really like about it. I'm finding it tricky to put it into words. It wasn't all there for me. I don't know what it's missing.
Let me say what I thought, and then maybe if you find your words, you can you can come back. I think this movie is a really important step as for us as a society. It basically sums up the messing up of the war in Iraq. And I think a lot of people might look at it and say, oh, you know, we know this, and it's a thing about the WMDs again, and we don't really care. And you have to remember that this is a real situation. I say we because at the time I was actually for the war in Iraq. I thought, you know, I realized that the U.S. was going in... I'm sorry, I'm going to get political, but this is a political movie. I realized that the U.S. was going in there because of the I was going to say the gold, but, you know, the gas, the oil. But I thought, hey, let's just get rid of one dictator. Why not? And he probably has WMDs, so that's double good. So let's say we. Everyone was for that, and that had consequences. And we tend to now shrug it off. It's, yeah, there's this thing in Iraq. And back then, they were expecting us to help them. It's very well done in the movie. They don't understand what's happening and why we are... and why the army is messing things up. And we wrecked the country. We did. We didn't handle it well. And I don't want to put the responsibility on the Bush administration, because I think we as a society are responsible for this. And I'm not saying we should, you know, just be overly... critical of ourselves. There were reasons. We shouldn't just say, oh my god, we were so wrong. Yes, I think we were. And might I remind you, France was one of the only countries that said, this is not the way to do things. We shouldn't go in. It had political interests.
Can I just ask, for this movie, see, here's the thing. They didn't do a good job telling the public what this movie was really about. For me, I saw Matt Damon, saw the title Green Zone, it's another Bourne type movie, blah, blah, blah. What you're describing, and a better movie to really address that topic, is an actual documentary called No End in Sight. I mean, it goes through all of that.
That's the thing. People are not caring at this point. Right. There are articles, there are documentaries, there are books written about this giant fuck up that was the going to Iraq and wrecking this country. And the movie is very, you know, it's very symbolic. Like, you have the one journalist that does this and the one guy who represents the administration and the one guy who's the army. It's not like anyone's going to believe that's exactly the way it happened, but it's just telling people, you know, the general way things went. And what I'm trying to say is that we shouldn't, like, completely, you know, look at this and feel and melt in shame and horror. I'm just saying that when you look at this, the least we can do, because people are people and Iraqis are dying there to this day, and the country is being torn apart by terrorism that wasn't there beforehand, the least we can do is look at it and just, you know, take a few minutes, watch this movie with Matt Damon in it.
Well, you know, I like what you're saying, Patrick. Just a second.
I just want to say we need to look at it and at least take the time to acknowledge that this is happening. You know, just if you look at it and go like, oh, pff, this is Iraq, I don't care, Matt Damon, blah, blah, blah.
No, you should be ashamed. Is this a good representation of that story? Is my question.
I think I know what my problem is though now with the film. Okay. And it's basically, I mean, what you're saying is the morality of the whole situation. And it's I think it is something that is kind of very debated in terms of the good and the bad and what the whole kind of event brought. And I think the film comes across, I'm not sure if simplistic is the word, but very black and white, very... It doesn't really show the great... I would agree. Exactly, and that's the problem, I think. If this wasn't like Kick-Ass, where Kick-Ass actively went to be independent so it could do and tell a story that was different and didn't have to, you know, confirm to cliche and to expectations and to target audiences and screen tests and all of that, this movie, I think that's what I didn't like as much, is that in terms of the, like I said, the morality behind it all, it was very, very clear, black and white. It didn't have those shades of grey that would have made this a great movie, a woo, if you will.
Well, I would say that it sort of tells, in essence, what it's saying is the administration, or us as the West, manufactured reasons to go into Iraq. And that doesn't have any morality to it. That is what happened, and we know this, and people don't care. And as I was saying, you know, servicemen and women
don't care. I think that's a really broad statement to say that people don't care.
Okay, how many times a day do you, well, how many times a month do you think that people are still dying in Iraq? I guess what I'm saying is every day
the war's still going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a daily occurrence on the news and newspapers about servicemen dying over there.
Maybe it's not in France then, because we don't have servicemen in there. But it's just, I feel like it's a responsibility of ours to, if you say, you know, it's still happening and people realize that this is still happening, then that's good. What I don't want
people are realizing, but they are becoming numb. So I think probably a movie like this is to, you know, remind people that it's still going on, and for more information for some of the real stories, seek out those documentaries. That, I mean, there are some amazing documentaries that have happened.
I guess maybe this movie is just there to kind of bring people back to
what's going on.
But I just want to say that there was a moment there, you know, for a couple of years where we considered war in a very trivial manner. And I think it's important that we keep reminding ourselves and we don't just get bored with the fact that war is never something to be taken lightly.
I agree.
No, I'm sure you don't, you agree, but I can feel like in my surroundings, and I can't imagine that, you know, in the US it doesn't happen too, and everywhere, some people might go like, yeah, you know, Iraq, whatever, old news. So maybe I'm wrong.
It doesn't happen like that.
I mean, exactly.
Oh, I might disagree. Okay. I might agree with Patrick on that.
I don't think so. I mean, you're always hearing about, especially local news and service people that have died. And I mean, how is it in your area, Sean?
Well, I just think as Americans, and I can only speak as American, we have a short memory for whether it's tragedy or you know, I'm thinking in terms of natural disasters.
Short memory, or is it dwelling?
I mean, interests. I mean, it's not personal anymore. You know, the recovery from the tsunamis, you know, however many years ago, is still going on. There's still horrible need
exactly.
up there.
Yeah, I mean, look at Haiti. You know, that for a lot of people is out of sight, out of mind now. But I mean, you can say that with a lot of issues.
Sure, but I'm not saying you know we should like look at this every day and spend every minute of our day, you know, being sorry for the fact that we are not, you know, miserable like other people are in the world. I'm just saying that for this movie, when we see it, at least acknowledge that this is happening and don't discard it as, you know.
But I think if we're counting on Hollywood to help us keep these things in our mind, then we're doomed anyway.
I disagree. I think Hollywood has a place in this whole process.
But if the Hollywood experience puts such a different view on it.
Of course, but it doesn't mean that it's not, you know, great stories can be told with books and movies and anything, and it shines a light. In the end, most people, historians, are going to remember what actually happened in detail. But most people are going to remember the tales that they tell, you know, by the fireplace.
Well, I mean, we do have movies like Inglourious Basterds that help us remember, you know, the atrocities.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of them. I mean, bring it back to the movie and to a score. I'm now finding it very tricky because I want people to go and see this movie, but at the same time, from a pure movie perspective, in terms of going for an experience, I keep coming away and feeling like, yeah, it was enjoyable in places, but I wasn't wholly satisfied. And so it comes back to a meh. But then I would advise people to go see it because I think you have to choose
May or Woot.
And I'm going to have to go with meh, unfortunately, again, but please do go see it. But you probably won't love it. But
well, I thought.
Well, okay. It sounds like more rental than anything.
Even as a movie, I thought it was pretty good. It was pretty decent. I'd give it a Woot. Even as a movie, aside from the whole political thing, I think the political thing is important on a different, you know, in a different way. But Woot for me also. Oh, well, not also, but movie. Yeah. All right. Thank you for bearing with me and my crazy political.
It's good. No, I like it. I mean, the politicalicious is something we're trying out.
You depressed the chat room.
Yeah, everyone's like, dude, I didn't realize that's what I was going to get into.
Yeah, but I think all in all, I think we covered some good issues there, and hopefully, if the world leaders have been listening, we've got a few solutions in there as well. So, well done.
No, but you see, that's also the kind of thing I'm talking about. If the chat room is getting bored, I don't think they are, but it's our responsibility
it was just unexpected.
Yeah, but that's
the
thing.
This show, historically, for 24 episodes, has always been
no, of course,
lighthearted.
Of course. But
the trailer?
That's...
The trailer told them one thing, and they got something different. And now they're like, this is the best podcast ever.
Exactly. All right. I mean, let's move on to Nicole's Beanie review.
Oh, my mini review for Hot Tub Time Machine. Really going to go in a different direction on this one. Okay,
please tell me it was good because I liked the look of this movie.
So this is what I just wanted to bring this movie up just because it's been out and it was released in March 26th. So it's been out for over a month here in the US. In the UK, it's supposed to be coming out May 7th in France. Nothing. No timeline for France.
We don't have time for these kinds of silly movies.
So, and it is the epitome of a silly, silly movie. And I'm thinking it probably is not going to translate very well in other countries. So the premise of this movie, it is ridiculously stupid, but I loved it. I had such a fun time with it.
Wait. Is it like a hot tub that's also... Wait for it. A time machine?
If you can believe it, yes.
No way.
Is it magical or is it technological?
It's
mystical.
It's actually a little of both. Ooh. So the premise of this movie, there is so many throwbacks to the 80s. 80s references everywhere. If you lived through the 80s, you're going to just have fun with it. John Cusack is in it. If you're a fan of John Cusack, you know that he's done a ton of 80s movies, including...
So Terpster is not going to
understand the best movie
it.
Ever, Say Anything.
Say Anything. What was the... Better Off Dead. There's actually a few lines from Better Off Dead in the movie. There's a cameo by Chevy Chase. He actually plays
absolute
the hot tub,
God.
The hot tub attendant who fixes the hot tub. So really, what it boils down to, and you're either going to love this movie or you're going to hate it. It's one of those types of movies. I've seen people are like, "That was the stupidest movie ever! I can't believe you can't make a plot out of 80s references." And yes, you can.
You did they ever see The Wedding Singer?
I know. Oh, so anyway, the premise of this movie is they go back. So it's a group of friends. It's three friends and then the nephew of John Cusack. They go and take this trip to this ski lodge that back in the 80s was just the place to be. And now it's not so much. Crispin Glover is in the movie. As a arm, when you first meet him, he doesn't have an arm, and so when they do go back in time, Crispin Glover's character is still at this hotel, but he has his arm. So you're just waiting for the moment where he loses his arm, and they find every possible way of a situation that he almost loses his arm. It's just really stupid. It's really funny. If you enjoyed the 80s or experienced the 80s, you'll probably enjoy the movie. I found it funny because there was a lot of like teenagers in the theater and they're like, I didn't get it.
All right. So basically, if you thought that my previous rant about political stuff was too political for you, this makes up for it.
Right? It's just stupid. I know, Patrick, you would absolutely hate it. I know you would hate it.
I'm not.
The plot of the movie is basically they go back in time to relive. I thought
but
it was funny.
I can like stupid movies.
I know, but you won't like this movie.
Oh, okay.
It was kind of neat, though, because even though they were back in time in their older bodies, what everyone saw was their young self. So they actually found actors that resembled each one of them. And the guy that played John Cusack was kind of scary how much he looked like John Cusack as a young John Cusack. Not completely, but he was still pretty close.
I want to see this movie.
Exactly. I saw the trailer and I thought, I'm excited about this. I want to see it. Just purely when they had the line.
It's doing really, really well.
Is Michael Jackson. I thought that was a fantastic way to try and determine what decade you're in. By the color of Michael Jackson. past that as well, it did seem cheesy, but then I think that's probably a good thing. It looks like it is just one of those, let's just go and have a stupid laugh. You know, I think that would be a good
really
thing.
No, I think I'm going to enjoy it.
One of the funniest parts, so they're in the 80s, and of course they have all the knowledge of present time. So one of the friends, Craig Robinson, he's from The Office, the U.S. version of The Office. Some people might know him there. But anyway, he has the Kid in Play hairstyle, the really tall one. And he decides to, he's in a band, and he decides to do a Black Eyed Peas song in the current time in the 80s. So him doing this Black Eyed Peas song in the 80s and it felt like Back to the Future when Michael J's character does
hey Chuck, it's your cousin Marvin Berry. Oh, hang on, Chuck Berry
so
wrote that song.
Things like that. I liked it. I wanted to bring it up because I'm giving it a woo because I really enjoyed myself. It was a lot of fun. But I know that there's going to be people, and I know people have already said it on our Facebook page. Oh, that was the worst movie ever.
All right. I'll try to go see it when it comes out, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. There you go.
Let's do... Is it time for...
Recommendals.
It is, I guess. All right.
Transition.
Yeah, pretty good.
It was. That's a drop-in we have.
So, you know what, Nicole, you've been on a roll. I think we should keep...
How am I on a roll? A roll of what?
A roll of awesomeness.
Oh, yeah.
You just don't have your movie picked out. I bet you that's
yes,
what
it I do. Is. It is. It is in the document right now. Do you want me to go? I'll go.
Yeah,
I'll
you go.
Go right now.
Do it.
All
do
right.
It. Yeah, cool
so
as bluff.
The movie I'm going to talk about is okay. Let's set the stage. I hate football, or as you guys call it, soccer. And by the way, I hate football too. It's freaking slow. Like, you just
spend it like
run
Beckham,
for half a second and then you stop and everyone looks at each other and then they run into each other again. And stupid game.
Are you talking about American football? Or?
Yes. Well, okay. Both actually. Both are incredibly stupid and right. Incredibly boring. This movie, however, makes soccer look really fun. It's a Hong Kong movie, I think.
Not Shaolin Soccer.
Shaolin Soccer.
Oh,
and what? It is the only way you can make soccer fun is by watching this movie. It's, imagine, for the people who know, Dragon Ball and a team of soccer players who play soccer. And you combine the two together and awesomeness ensues. I feel like I'm channeling a little bit of Terpser here. Shaolin Soccer is an awesome, fun, cool movie that you should rent and see. There you go.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah?
No?
Yeah. You saw it, T. You like it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Okay. It's certainly very silly. It's,
yes.
I don't know. Again, I definitely recommend it if you don't like football, soccer. Also, if you're not a massive fan of martial art movies, though, I'd still go see it. I didn't love it myself, though, I'll be honest.
Okay.
But I'm not here to pass judgment.
It's
like
fun. No, it's fun. It's fun. It's not an awesome movie. It's just fun.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Cool.
Mark.
Shall I go? Okay. My one, I spoke of it very briefly earlier. It is one of my favorite films of all time. With one of my favorite actors of all time, Bill Murray, in The Man Who Knew Too Little, where he plays a hilarious American man who comes over to England.
You say American.
And yeah, basically his brother's got a big investor meeting and he doesn't want his embarrassing brother, Bill Murray, hanging around. So he sends his brother off to do this kind of live theatre, this immersive new kind of theatre where you are the actor. And basically, you go along and they act around you. It's all improv based and they give you kind of an experience. And so he goes along and it's
awesome.
A case of mistaken identity. He thinks he's in a kind of a theatre production that's taking place around the city where he's been given the role of a spy, when in fact he's been mistaken as a spy and as such is kind of unnaturally brave, just purely because he doesn't believe any of the danger to be real. He thinks it's all stagecraft. It's Bill Murray being Bill Murray. So if you like Bill Murray, you'll love it. And it's exceptionally fun. It's just a real fun movie. And for that, you should certainly go and see it or rent it.
Excellent. The Man Who Knew Too Little.
Should I do now, Patrick?
Yes.
If okay.
You want to, I mean, you don't
yeah,
have
yeah.
to. Yeah, it's fine. Whatever.
I actually do have a good movie. And it's probably something that most people haven't heard of. And it's called Perfume, The Story of a Murderer. Dun, dun, dun. Have you guys seen this movie?
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I've heard good things about the book.
It is a weird ending.
Yes. So it is Terpster is 100% right. It is a weird, weird movie. But it is the kind of movie that you just want to watch and understand and rewatch. And so this is a story about Jean-Baptiste. And this kid is born with a crazy ability.
Oh, just that intro as well. I'm just remembering it now. I feel ill.
So his ability is the gift of smell, and not even like, kind of smell, like bloodhound smell. Like he can smell all kinds of stuff. Weird things happen to this kid. He's a weird So even how he's born is really odd. He's born into poverty. His mother was, what is she working at? A fish market. And then she's working and she gives birth and throws him to the side. And it was because of his smell, sense of smell, he basically is found on the side, and then they hunt his mother down and so on. But what this story is following this kid as he grows up and all the weird things that happen to him. And finally, once he gets out of this kind of slum area, he gets into more of the city area, he starts smelling better smells, like ladies. Women. Ladies. And so he has this obsession with the smell of a woman. And it follows him through his quest for capturing the smell of a woman. And it's weird. It's really weird. Dustin Hoffman is in it. He eventually, this kid starts working for Dustin Hoffman's character, who runs a perfume.
Wait, are we telling the whole movie?
No. I'm just saying. I'm not even telling you like what happens.
You told me like half the movie. I feel like I've seen it already.
Be careful
now.
For those who get close to him soon find a good profit.
All the good stuff. I haven't told you about. So okay. It's just about. I mean, that's where perfume comes in. That's the name of the title, and you know, it's about a murderer. So
okay.
I just read the ending on Wikipedia.
Don't read the ending. Shush. That's terrible. You don't read the ending because it won't make sense.
I'm not going to see it. Remember, this is six movies a year, guy.
So that could be one of your six. I mean, now you have the choice between Shaolin Soccer and Perfume. Which one are you going
to
choose?
And The Man Who Knew Too Little. Don't forget
no,
the
that
best.
One, don't forget. No.
Why do I have to choose between those three?
Jeez. Okay, which one would you recommend?
I would recommend to you. My movie minute here is on Gamers, The Dorkness Rising.
Oh, that was mine, the very first episode of Movielicious.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Was it the first one?
Must have been where I got it.
Yeah. It's a full circle, people.
No, I'm into the streaming Netflix, just kind of sitting at the computer and just finding really weird movies, and I came across that, and it's...
Mark, he's just taunting us now.
What, with that Netflix?
Yeah.
I don't like it either, but, you know, what can we do about it?
Streaming Netflix on the iPad.
It's very nice. So it's basically, I mean, well, go back and listen to episode one and listen to Nicole tell you about this movie.
I want to hear your thoughts on it.
No, it's been over a year, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, no, we're getting ready to come up on our year next month.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
So it's if you have to be a D&D gamer to some extent, I think, to really appreciate it.
Or play
and if you're
WoW,
not a gamer at all, not, you're going to absolutely hate it. You're not going to watch it past like the first 5 minutes.
Because I don't play D&D, and I really, really enjoyed it.
In fact, I'm pretty sure I saw this film on YouTube. I'm pretty sure they've got it on there.
Because
I don't think it was a big release, was it? It was like an independent thing. Yeah, so I'm pretty sure you can watch it online, so we don't even need it.
All right. Netflix. So that is Darkness.
The Gamers, : Dorkness Rising.
There you go.
Sean's. The Gamers, : That sounds horrible.
Actually, it does, doesn't it?
I think we have a special segment thing that we are doing.
Clipalicious?
The what?
I'm trying to name this.
What was the name you just used?
I said Clipalicious.
Not really.
No one's called
Quiztacular.
Quiztacular. I like
Quiztacular.
It. It's got some panache.
Quiztacular.
Zaz. Quiztacular.
All right. So this is the part in the show that we go through some movie clips, and I'm actually going to play with the chat room because you guys stink. Though, Sean, you might actually help out
what,
the guys.
Like watch like six movies a day? A year? Not a day.
I'd say, as long as it's either Gamers... or Kick Ass, we should be on to a winner there with Sean.
All or right. John Hughes.
So, go ahead, Nicole.
All right. So remember, you have to be quiet through the entire, or else it'll drop the sound. So, okay. So let's wait till the clip is over, and then you can say. All right. So here's the first clip. Are you guys ready? You should know this.
As ready as I'll ever be.
Let's face it, this is not the worst thing you've caught me doing.
Hey, too easy, too easy. Can we choose a harder one next time?
So what was that clip?
That was Iron Man. That's the bit where Pepper Potts walks in on Tony Stark as he is getting the Iron Man armor being removed from his body after having taken out the terrorist bits. Yes. And being shot down by a plane, an F1.
Lucky 129 in the chat room got it first as well. So that was indeed Iron Man. All right, so here is the next one. You ready?
Hey, can I borrow your odorant?
Yeah, I got smelly garbage or old dumpster.
You got the low tide?
No.
How about wet dog?
Yep, stink it up.
Look here!
Very easy as well. I can even get this one.
Go on, Sean.
Yep.
That would be Monsters, Inc. As
you have to go
Mike
faster
Wazowski and Sullivan are preparing to go to work.
You have to go. Well, you have a child. That should disqualify you from.
We actually watched that within the past month too. So.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
And Lucky 129 got it again in
yes,
the chat
he
room.
Is.
You have to be faster because then the chat room and we if someone gets it in the chat room, you.
Who are you saying? Who has to be faster?
We
I can't play the
here.
Oh, okay.
No, but here because
even like, with the lag, they're still beating us. Is that what you're
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but they can say like it as soon as they know it. We've got to wait for the clip to play.
That's true.
No, you can just say it.
All right, here's another one.
No one gets to hear it.
You know, these clothes do not flatter you at all. It should be a dress or nothing. I happen to have no dress in my cupboard.
Did you get that one?
Hey, it's for you,
say,
Mark.
Oh, for me, well, it's Johnny Depp. It sounded a little bit like Sweeney Todd, but it wasn't. No, what was it?
Lucky is on a roll.
Oh, Pirates of the Caribbean, was it?
Well,
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Lucky,
but which
Lucky
one?
Lucky is
I think
saying
it was Pirates of the Caribbean 2, if I'm not mistaken.
So it was the first
it's
one,
actually,
wasn't it, with Elizabeth?
It was the first one.
Yeah, she was getting booked the ship.
Lucky 129 said Pirates of the Caribbean.
I know what he meant.
Okay, fine.
He's right. Spelling is for suckers. All right. Let's try a hard one.
Point Break or Bad Boys 2?
Which one do you think I prefer?
No, I mean, which one do you want to watch first?
Not hard at all. It was Hot Fuzz. That's a scene of... I mean, that film is fantastic. Have I done that for a recommendal yet or not?
Nope.
Because I love it.
Oh.
It's beautiful. But maybe that's because it's, you know, but you guys all got that because you got Shaun of the Dead as well. But the best cop film since it references every other cop film. So amazing.
Ooh, by the way, I am reading The Boys, which has a character. It's a comic that has a character that is based off of, what's his face? Hot Fuzz.
Simon
dude.
Pegg?
Yeah, Simon Pegg.
Cool.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I love Simon Pegg.
And
he's so great.
Nick Frost.
I follow him on Twitter.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
All right. Good for you. Okay, last clip.
Last one.
Okay. Hold the
platform. My Yankee, my Wanky. The donga need food.
That
I have
is
no
disturbing.
Idea.
Oh, I know that one. That's 16 Candles.
You're very good, Sean. Yay!
There you go. Yay. I'm glad Sean
Sorry,
was here.
Sorry, I figured
he
that one was
us.
Pretty easy, too.
Wow. Say, hey, no one got it. Even in the chat room, everyone's like, what the heck is this? Even Lucky 129.
How do you not know Long Duck Dong?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen 16 Candles.
Hello, sexy American girlfriend.
That was equally disturbing. All right. I guess that is going to bring the show to a close, but not before Nicole reads us some of our reviews
yes.
on iTunes because
well,
we do
I
get
sent,
reviews.
I sent both of
them.
You a review that I want one of you to read in the
right.
trailer
oh,
man's
yeah,
voice.
Totally.
So if do you have that available? If not,
yes.
I can read another.
Paste it into the Skype chat.
No, I have it. I have it. All right.
Oh, so you're doing it. It's fine.
And I'm
This is from Kiltit01.
Yeah, that's going to be hard because I'm sick. Okay.
In a world of crap. In a world of podcasting
crap.
In a world of podcasting crap, three heroes emerge to save us all. Nicole, the heart spag, With poison empathy, she brings emotional connection to the movies and yet never fails to impress with her intellectual depth.
This is Patrick, where you should stop, and Nicole should say something that relates to that. Like, oh yeah, that movie was totally emotional.
And deep. Patrick, and deep. The big boss Beja, trying to keep the other two in the crew in line on a task, has to be like herding cats, I confirm. But Patrick is the paragon of poise and professionalism, mostly. Mark, the punchline turfster, don't let the goofy Peter Pan act fool you. His reviews are spot on, and he knows his craft. Just don't ask him for an English breakfast, or you may be in for more than you bargained for.
Think happy thoughts.
All told, in the sewer of podcasting mediocrity, the Movielicious floats to the top. 5 shining stars.
Yeah, that wasn't great.
Brilliant.
Coming soon.
Coming soon to a movie theater near you. And that was a review by Kilted01. Thank you so much, Kilted. That was pretty cool, even if I butchered your fantastic review of our show.
You did butcher it.
Butcher it.
No, I butcher. It's better.
Okay, so there you go. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
That was a 5-star review. 5-star review.
I think it was a 5-star reading as well, so I'd like to just...
Thank you, and the chat room is also picking up on my very poor pronunciation of the English language, and making joke about how the butt was turd. All right, another review?
Yeah, again, Nicole, I'd like you to read this one in the movie previews guide voice. So, yeah.
What? Which one?
Which one?
Just whatever one. I don't know.
Review I don't want to read it. Well, my mouse just
delicious soft spots.
My mouse just died on me, so I'm gonna have to read the one that's on my screen, which is from Pirate Devin. Great mix, 5 stars. If you love movies and you love laughing, listening to and you'll love. Gosh, I'm just terrible at reading reviews.
If you like movies,
you'll love laughing. Listen to this podcast. The show is a mix of great personalities sharing their thoughts on new movies and offering some good classics when you want to hang out at home. Recommendals in parentheses. The hosts have great energy, diverse taste, and most importantly, have fun. Don't let the other reviews mislead you. There are other movie podcasts, but this one deserves attention all on its own. I subscribe to many podcasts, and I put the Movielicious at the top of the list every time, no matter how behind I am. Oh, and one more thing. Just because the uncouth barbarian that rated the show can't tell Patrick is hilarious doesn't mean that he's not. Nicole is witty, Terpster is zany, but Patrick is awesome, too. The show works because all three of them have a solid sense of humor and also great accents. And the girls, so that's like a triple threat. Wink with a little tongue sticking out.
I've always wondered how to pronounce that.
I'm telling you what's there.
I love that smiley face just became... it's fantastic. yeah, and thank you so much for thinking I'm funny. I really appreciate that. And I think that is going to be it for us, right? We're done? Are we done? Is the show done?
I think we're done.
I think we're done.
We're going to be back in a few time, but we're not done.
I'm sorry? What?
Not over. I just don't want to have any sensation. Oh, no, it's ending. We're going to be back in 2 weeks' time.
Yes, we are. And until then, you know what you can do? You can, for example, go to iTunes and leave us a review, just like these fine people you just heard did. You can also go to the blog and comment on the episode and tell us how much you love us or not.
And if you leave an iTunes review, Patrick can butcher it.
I could. You can also follow Sean Coons on Twitter, who is at Sean Coons, and tell him how much you loved the fact that he was on the show and encourage him to come back at some point, not in a year. Where else can people find you, Sean? Do you still do crazy stuff on the internet?
I have a blog. I don't know how crazy it is, but it's just SeanCoons.com.
Come on, it's crazy.
Woohoo!
Yes, it's absolutely insane.
There you go. SeanKunz.com if you want some craziness. Because God knows we don't have enough of that on the internet. Mark, the T, Terpser, Turpin, where can people find you? You're all over the place.
I am.
You're doing 10 podcasts.
You went from zero to like 20 podcasts.
Four, guys. but you can find me at terpservision.tv, or you can go to twitter.com/the_T. Where I tweet about, I just copy paste Patrick's tweets more than anything recently. So I quite enjoy that. That's quite a nice way to tweet.
Cool. Nicole.
You can find me at twitter.com/NicoleSpag, as well as at ladiesofleet.com.
What's this I hear on a podcast called Forecast about you having another podcast that you never tell us about?
My secret podcast.
Your secret, yeah. It's like I feel like I'm being cheated on.
Well, I started up about five weeks ago, an experimental podcast for, most people don't know that I work in higher education. So I created a podcast recapping the news and events of higher education, and it's called The Higher Ed Review.
So is it super exciting? There's this new book that came out that details how to handle the class?
No. Well, like, for instance, the Facebook conference just happened, and the big announcements with docs.com happened, and that would be something we discussed and how it would affect, IT and on college campuses and how students are going to use it and things like that.
Wow.
So you basically talk about class changes, what's been buffed and nerfed. It sounds like something I'd be interested in, actually. I quite fancy.
What's the name again?
It's higheredreview.com. It really only applies to people that work at colleges and universities.
In our listenership,
not necessarily students. Students won't care about this stuff.
All right. Thanks a lot. You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/notpatrick. Also on Facebook, facebook.com/notpatrick. And I guess my blog, patrickbeja.com. That's going to be it for us. Next episode is going to be in 2 weeks. That will be, what is it going to be? The 3rd of May? Yes, I think that's it. We're going to be talking about Iron Man 2 and something else.
You know what that means? I'll be at Nerdtacular.
Are you going to do the show live from Nerdtacular? It's on the 5th. No, the 6th of May.
It's on a Thursday, right? I might be.
Yes.
I
said the 3rd.
I might already be in Salt Lake City. I have to double check my flight. We might have to do it on Friday.
Ah, okay. We'll see.
We'll verify.
Let's get Sean to do it, can't we?
I think it would be really cool to record it from Salt Lake City at Nerdtacular. We'll get Scott involved.
That would be awesome. Let's
do it in the hot tub.
That would be, and then time machine craziness. It's insane. Oh, all right. 2 weeks. See you then, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
There you go. On that one, I look freaking badass. Well, maybe not badass, but like, I'm all like, don't mess with me.
Either that or you're doing your best to be a 5-year-old pouting.
Exactly, yeah.
Exactly. I'm like, I wanted a Nintendo DS.
But I wanted to be taken in front of the badass robot. I don't want paper. Why have I got a wallpaper background?
You need to have a tattoo, Patrick, in that picture.
Ooh. I got a tattoo.
What?
You would just look tougher if you had like a tattoo on your arm or something.
I got a cool one. I got Trogdor. It's not so much a tattoo as someone drew on me in Biro, but still. It looks pretty
what?
Bad.
In Biro? What's Biro? Yeah.
It like a pen, just like an ink pen. I think it's a brand.
Why didn't you just say pen?
Program so good, it's like you're there.